there, they're both going. Okay, so one of the things that I wanted to talk about is something that you've got to do some research for, and there will be questions on the final, I promise about that. So you need to do some research on it. And I put some research articles that I liked up there. There's one that's, I think, out of no longer active, I think, when I clicked on it. And then I forgot to go back and take it out. But anyway, what you have to do is, okay, I've made a website. And as I've said before, my website has a captive audience. So I keep getting emails from people saying they're going to improve my website for me for a slight fee so that more people will use my website. Okay, and those are people that try to claim to you that they can optimize your site. You know, I don't need them because I don't care. I've got a captive audience. But for people out there, you do need to try to optimize your site. And it's obviously better to figure out how to do it yourself than to have to hire somebody to do it. So you have to look at a couple of things. One of them is how you get people to know about your website. And if you drive down the street, every single truck that goes by has a website address on them. But if you look at some of those website addresses, I could never possibly remember them. Okay, when I get home, I'm not going to remember them. It's lovely that they have it on their truck, but unless it's a very, their company name, .com, it's not going to do them an awful lot, I don't think, an awful lot of good. But maybe you remember websites on cars better than trucks better than I do. But how do you try to get, you've got a website, you put it up there, how do you try to get it? To have other people see it and find it. You know, one of the other things is I keep getting is emails from people asking me to include their website on my website. Okay? I noticed you have an article about this. My website has a lot of information about this. Will you please put my website up on yours? And in return, I'll put your website up on mine, some of them say. Others don't say that. But they're trying to get the marketing out there, because if indeed I put their website on my website, then a few people probably are going to click on it. So they have got the marketing going on there. What other strategies have you seen for marketing websites and trying to get them across?
Sales?
Yeah. Yeah, but how do you get somebody to go to your website? Sales gets them to come back more. But, you know, how do you get them to go? You've got to get some publicity out there.
I've seen people make stickers and put them everywhere.
Yes. Yes. If you make stickers, that works. If you get it published, I've seen one of the things is to write an article about it and try to publish it someplace. Either in paper or someplace on the web where you think people are going to go. One of the things is to get involved in blogs and other things where you can provide some information to people and include your website when you're providing the information. If they like the information that you're providing, they may go to your website. Okay, so you have to try to get people at your website. And these are some articles about it. And you can also do some searching on your own to find articles about it. But that's one of the questions I'm going to ask you on the final, is to explain how you would get people to go to your website, to look up and come up with a plan to get people to go to your website. And there's just a load of information out there. So you're going to be asked to write an essay about that. And then once you've got people going to your website, how do you keep them coming back? What makes you go back to a website? Or don't you ever go back to a website?
No. So just like a video website, weekly updates for new videos, stuff like that?
Yeah, that's one of the keys that, it seems to be one of the keys when they survey people and everything, is to have changing stuff. If it's not changing, then they don't seem to want, don't seem to go back as much.
Yeah, but it also depends on the type of website. For example, if I was doing an informational website, what I'd probably do in order to get it out there and to get people to come back is I'd make like a YouTube video explaining some of the information I have on it, and then having it more in detail on the website, say, go to my website.
Right. No, YouTube, I should have said that before when I was saying publish it someplace. YouTube is a great place to publish it. You know, I watch my 10-year-old grandson, and he's on YouTube finding all of the places that get into Nerf guns, which is his latest passion. So he's out there reading everything he can find on Nerf guns and then going to the sites that are out there. Yeah.
Well, I didn't make changes to my website. I couldn't skip the content.
Say that again?
I didn't make changes to my website. CSS couldn't skip the content.
Okay. Well, at this point, I mean, you're kind of passing it into me as a product. But if you were actually doing this for real, for a company or something, that would be something to include, is changes. Also, expertise, from what you were just saying too, is if you can convince them that you have expertise that they want, then they may go and look at your website. But again, if you don't put something in there that's changing, if you don't say, come back next week for an article about, or something like that, or for information about, then people aren't going to go back. It's, you've got to not only get them there the first time, but you've got to get them to keep coming back if you are trying to market product or in some way you're making your money off them going to your website. Okay. So you've got to keep them there.
So like a sales website, you could probably do like coupons or something.
That would be, yes. And put out the coupon for next week. And therefore that was going to bring you back next week to do the coupons. But you got to try to figure out how you're going to get them there in the first place, because there's a gazillion websites out there. How, what's going to make them go to yours? And then what's going to make them come back to yours? You know, and some of the chats and some of the social media can be worked in there to try to get it. But you have to kind of be subtle about it. Several of the articles in here mention that fact, that you kind of got to be a little bit subtle and make them think that it's their idea to want to go to your website to some degree, as opposed to, you know, browbeating them to go to your website. The expertise has to be presented not as an advertisement, but as something I'm doing for you. If it's presented totally as an advertisement, people get suspicious of it. I mean, I don't hit advertisements ever, because I've learned from past experience that that's going to cause a whole lot of stuff to happen that I really don't want to happen. So then the other thing that they get into here is the search engine optimization idea, that you want to be able to have yours placed fairly high. And so they talk about things like the meta tags that you can put in your page that have keywords. Meta tags used to work a lot better than they work now because people overuse them. And so because they overuse them and put, you know, the same word in 100 times and did all of that kind of stuff, they're not taken as seriously now as they were years ago. But you've got to try to put in the keywords. That's one of the reasons why frames are not a great idea, is because the front page of frames doesn't really have any meat in it. And that front page tends to be one that the search engines tend to look at. And so you want to be able to have that front page have the keywords that people are going to type in at the search engine there. Okay, and you want to have, as I said, meta tags and everything there so that people will that your page will come up on a search engine. Every once in a while, it surprises me when I go searching for something and one of my pages pops up. Because I'm not doing anything to make that happen, but there must be the combination of words that I use that makes mine pop up. And then the last thing is the evaluations. And I put four different colleges in there. But the last thing is evaluating whether a site is any good. What makes you decide that a site's good? If you go and you're looking for information, what makes you decide that this information is worth, let's say you have to write a paper, including in a paper, or what information makes you say, yeah, no, right, I don't trust this.
You want examples?
Yeah, what makes you decide that, you know, that this is a reliable source as opposed to a bunch of garbage?
I like when there is opposition to the argument presented as well as proof of argument.
Okay.
So the counterpoints. Because if you have just one point and you hammer it in a lot, it seems forced. Whereas if you have some counterarguments sometimes to your information or other relevant information that backs it up at the same time, it feels more presentable in the way that's kind of makes you think. Makes
okay.
You think like you made the like, okay, I see all this stuff and I see the counterarguments. It seems like this has some reason to come up with. Kind of.
Okay, so you want more discussion.
Yes.
And that sort of thing than just a, this is the way it is, period, end of discussion. Okay. Anybody else?
It's informative citations. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I look for citations that tell me that this person has used reliable sources. And also just I look for the fact that they've taken ownership of it and they put their own information there. That to me says something too, if they have put the name of the company, the address of the company, or whatever it is, so that they're advertising, well, I guess that's advertising, but they're also just taking responsibility.
Also for marketing websites, I would say backing. For example, if there's a marketing website for computer parts and they say backed by Intel, then you're like, oh, okay, so there's some credibility.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else that you look for?
If there's care put into how the website is designed.
Say that again?
If there is care put into how the website is designed.
Yeah, you're right. If it looks professional, I tend to be drawn in more, sometimes falsely, because, you know, it can, they understand that they need to look professional too, and so some of them are not as much. I'm not the opponent of Wikipedia that a lot of people are. I think there's a lot of good information on Wikipedia. And go there to find certain basic definitions and things like that. It's not all good. You have to watch it carefully. But I find that there's a lot of, when I'm looking for definition or looking for examples, that I find a lot out there. You know, and I know a lot of people say that you shouldn't cite Wikipedia, but I don't quite understand that because, as I said, I think there's a lot of good information out there. And I know people that have actually put information out there that are very reliable, kind of trying to share good information.
I mean, if an article's good, it'll have secondary sources linked off from it.
Yeah, no, that's what they were saying.
Yeah, well, that's why I think you shouldn't cite Wikipedia, because you could easily get another source that's more firsthand.
Okay.
Directly from.
Well, a lot of, yeah, from other, but a lot of those are firsthand.
Yes. Yeah, I know. You can get the same knowledge
elsewhere.
Directly linked from
okay.
The Wikipedia article.
That's true. Yeah.
From what I understood, Wikipedia is like basically a composition of sources of information from different people with interest in the field that they're discussing, right?
Right,
so
lots of times.
What would make it non-siloed? Because it's kind of like I was saying, it's kind of like a discussion room for topics. which seems to me, it seems to give usually the best description of the documents.
Well, I mean, I think politics is the best answer to that. Look at the politic articles. They tend to be, which I actually haven't done in Wikipedia, but they would tend to be very biased.
Usually those are the kinds that I like. Because it keeps interesting.
Not necessarily always factual, however. Okay, so anyway, I've put some out there for you to look at, and there will be questions on the final that relate to how you get your web page up there, how you get people to come, how you get people to stay, and that kind of thing. So do a little bit of reading, and you can start doing that now, but the questions are going to show up on the final, yeah.
When we describe the website in the final, for example, do you want us to specify for different types of websites, or do you want us to pick one and go with it? How would you like us to frame the question?
You can actually frame it either way. I was thinking of it more from the if you put up your website that you've made, how would you attract people to it? But no, you can pick something else if you want to, and pick a company and pick, you know, and just I want a plan for how you would get people to a website. And I was thinking of it, as I said, as more of the website you're designing. But if you want to pick another one, go ahead.
So do we have to pick a specific website?
No, you can pick
So for example, I could put like sales websites, and then I put like, you know, coupons, stuff like that.
But you know, as I said, you can make the best website in the world, but if nobody knows it's out there, then what good has it done anybody? Okay. So, the next thing I'm going to do is finish up a little bit of the DOM and finish up a few other things in JavaScript. JavaScript, I'm going to look at next week, object-oriented, and talk a little bit about the next level of JavaScript, but that's more just a talking thing. I'm going to give you, again, another project to work on this afternoon, because that's getting the stuff up there is the important part. A lot of what we're looking at in JavaScript is the kind of stuff that I want you to understand that you're capable of doing that, so that you can kind of go back and look at it, but it's not stuff you use every day. The follow-up course to this, which has 250, which has more JavaScript in it, then just keeps going in the and also gets into more of the object-oriented that I'm just going to mention next week. So, I am going to go back into JavaScript samples and pick up where we left off and do a few more of these, and I know they're tedious and I know they're boring and all that good stuff and tough. That's what they are, they're tedious and they're boring. Okay. So we were somewhere in here, and I think we were on 2.
Well, this is a web page from Basics.
Yes. Under JavaScript, I'm at DOM Basics 2. I believe we did
one.
Actually, all right. Is that where we were?
Yes.
All right. Then I actually think you may be right, because I think we were there. So DOM Basics 0 is actually, I think, where we were. So we'll start there and go with that. Okay, and this is DOM Basic 0. Okay, so I set up on this, and again, this is actually repetitive from some other examples we've looked at. This one has a division that has an ID of course code, and this is what I've got there. Okay, Then I have another division with an idea description, and this is what I've got there. And then I close the division. And the next division says, note that I'm going to use DOM, get element by ID, et cetera, et cetera. And so those are three divisions that I put up there. Each division is basically a line up there right now. And then I went back down into the JavaScript and I said, okay, I want to take what is in course code and I want to put it into something called course info. And I want to take what is in description and I want to put that into course description. And then I want to do a document write and I want to put out that information again. But this time the document write is going to color it red and give it a font size of 200. Okay. So I'm basically saying I can take some information that I've stored and I can repeat it, in this case repeating it. Okay. But I can repeat it where I want to put it and make it red and make it font size and all that good stuff. And as I said, that's more repetitious, so that's not quite as okay. In the one, I did basically the same thing, but I just did it twice. Okay, so I just put it out there twice. Once with child nodes, and I said I wasn't really going to get into nodes. And so I'm just pointing that out. A child, what a node is every part of the program that you set up. So every line of the program, every division, every paragraph, etc., becomes a node. And when I want to talk about it, I'm saying I want the child node, which is the next level down. Okay? And as I said, this does it twice. I'm really kind of skipping that. And that shows up in the 250 course. But so I'm really kind of pretending that isn't there. Actually, I meant to pull it and I didn't. Okay, 1A. This is kind of an interesting one. I've taken and I'm showing the web page. Okay, for no particular reason, but I am. And the way I'm doing that is I'm saying in the web page, if we look at the web page, because this shows the web page, all body is equal to the body of the document. And then I put up an alert that had the inner HTML in all body. So I put up an alert that contained the inner HTML of all body. And all body is the body of the document. Okay? So that's kind of neat looking. And if you do a view source on that, that's exactly what you're going to see. You know, that's the body of the document. So you're seeing the same thing that I put up there. So I am able to say I want the document body, which means that there and there, and I want to put that out. I want to put that HTML out. So I have access to it, is what is basically, again, what DOM is all about, is giving you access. Now we're at 2. Okay, first of all, get element by tag name. Okay, so I can go and get element by tag name. And the tag name I'm looking for is division. So so it can go and find the tag name for the division. Okay. And I can then say result on links, and then I can say result one inner HTML. So I've got how many divisions here? I've got one, two, three, four. I've got four divisions. So when I write this out and I say I want to know the length, do the document right and put out the length, I get the length of the divisions, meaning there's four. I get the fact that there's four divisions. Okay, so result, what did I just do? So result one, if I say course description and show result1.html, I am showing the first one, the first division. Okay, then I go down and I can show other divisions. So I've got the division modified by a number will show me the zeroth division, the first division, the second division, the third division, because I have all of those divisions. So in this loop, I said start I out at zero and go until I is less than the result length and add one to I each time. The plus plus means add one to one I each time. And then I show all the divisions. So these last four things are showing the four divisions that I have. The first division said CIS 120 Internet Developer. The second division said this course emphasizes. The third division said note that. And the fourth division down here says now. So I basically went in and by tag name, I got all four of the divisions. Okay? So tag name got me all four of the divisions. And then I've got access to each one of them. And at the bottom, I just went through a loop and showed each one of the divisions. Okay, so I went through the loop and showed each one of the divisions. And over here, I have the result length is telling me how many divisions I got. Questions on that. Okay, what that does again is give you access to everything because I now can say I want to see the third division in there. Okay. Not terribly practical and useful in everyday things, but it's nice to know that if you want to pull something out, you can go and do it. This is one that is just showing you the difference, and I think I did something similar to this. That this is how you can combine CSS inside JavaScript. Okay? So I can say the document body style background color is yellow. So when I do the on click, when I do my on click down here, it does that routine. Changes the background color to yellow, changes the font family of the header to Verdana, and changes the text of the header to web page showing use of DOM. Okay, so I can set up a style within JavaScript if I do it this way. Okay, so again, if I reload this, the web page now just says web page. But when I click, I change it to web page showing use of DOM. Okay, so when I click up there, I change the background to yellow, I change the font family, and I change the actual inner HTML and setup. Okay, and I do that for header, which here I've got H1 ID equals header. So there's where I do it. Wait a minute, which one did I do? And here I set up my two images. So I've got my two images set up, and I can now refer to them as image 0 and image 1. Let me pull this in a little so you can see it. So I said, I want to see the ID of image 0. So it goes up and you've got two images. This is image 0, that's the ID. I want to see the ID of image 1, and it shows me that. I want to see the date that this was last modified, which was March of last year that it was last modified. And I want to see the length of how many images there are, and so document images length gives me that information. Okay. So I'm doing a document write and getting that information. And here I set up a series of places that I wanted to put something. I want to put something in length, in first, in next, and in mod. So I've set those up as to where I want to put something, and then I can go ahead and fill them. Okay. So notice I did them in not the same order. I set up the four things, but this is the nice part, is I can put something in them in whatever order I want. If you're doing just a plain document write, then you do them in order. You just do it sequentially. But here, where I have set up the places where I want things to go, I can say, okay, I want to put something in mod now. And then I do something more in the program. Now I want to put something in there. And I can put the things in, and they will be ordered in the way I set them up, as opposed to ordered in the way that I put stuff into them. Okay? So I can be in different part of my program further down and put something in something up higher, and I can put them in different orders like that, in the order that I encounter them. That one, I think, is kind of useful. And the end's in sight. We're almost done with these examples. I think this is actually pretty much the same thing. Okay, the other thing that I wanted to show you was if you go down a little further, get image HTML. Yes. This is how you can get an image in JavaScript. So this is a practical one also. Okay. So I want to get a particular image and put it in. And I know how to do that in HTML, and that's usually what I do. I usually put the image in HTML and then script back to JavaScript and skip back and forth between them. But if you want to put an image in, I can set up a variable called myImage, and I can make it a certain size that I want. And then I can say the source for my image is CISA GIF. And then we get into, okay, document body, append the child, my image. So add in a child to what I've been writing. And that child is going to be the image. So when I clicked on get image, it executed this and put an image in that is inside JavaScript. And yesterday when I was looking at these, I went and looked up a bunch of others, and there's a whole bunch of convoluted ways that you can put an image in JavaScript. And it actually convinced me more and more that I want to do it through HTML and not necessarily do it. And you found something or done something, what?
We were just looking over and over at the same time.
Yeah. I found this one.
Okay, you need something to amuse yourself.
So, does it just repeat because it makes it a child?
Or? Yeah, it's the next thing down.
What's really the like practical use for this?
Huh?
What's really the...
Not much.
Okay.
But especially with doing it via a function. But you could just put it into your HTML also, if you want to put an image in.
Right.
I mean, I, as I said, tend to go back out to HTML to put the image in because it's easier. As opposed to, why am I bothering to put an image in JavaScript? The reason I want JavaScript is more if statements, loops, things like that. And by doing it in a function, as long as I keep clicking the function, then it keeps doing it one more time. But if I wanted to just, if I had a thing that I'd set up in JavaScript and I want to include an image, that text will include an image in a certain spot. Okay. Okay. I think this is actually one that's totally a repeat. Okay, I'm just replacing something. And I don't quite know, I was trying to figure that out last night, why that was in that particular spot. Okay, the thing I want to look at now is the using external JavaScript. So I have set up here, external JavaScripts, two of them. So those are just modules, okay? Those are external modules. And like in any language, you can set up something externally. So this is the external module. And it has a .js on it for JavaScript. And it has two functions. And those are not part of the program, they're called. Just like I can have my CSS external, I can have my JavaScript external. Why do you want to do this? Well, if I have some code that I want to use in five different programs to make five different web pages, if I do it once as a module, then I don't have to code it five times. I can code it once as a module, and then I can call that module from a whole bunch of different web page developing scenarios and get that page. Okay, so you can create it. Now notice it's like the CSS was. You don't introduce it and say, this is CSS. I don't introduce it and say, this is JavaScript. I just have the functions there. There's no stop script, end script, or anything else. I just have the functions there. And I put a JS extension on them, okay? So now if I go back, and look at the programs, I've got a DOM insert down here, okay? So this is just to show, this is a test of some elements of DOM, this is below the script, etc. So this is going to call one of those. So if I do view page source, whoops, what did I just do? So I've got a text JavaScript document write. This is a paragraph that I'm going to use in my document. And then I said, insert intro para with the parenthesis around it that tells me that that's a function, okay? And up here at the top, I have got script. Type equals text JavaScript, source equals external JS.js. So it's going to go out and get that. And notice how it's got the script and the closed script. It's going to go get that function and kind of insert it in there so that it really now has content in that script. Okay, when I coded it, it had no content in the script. But now it's got content in the script. Okay? And this isn't a click here to do it, this is a, it just gets done. So then I wrote out, this is the element, then I wrote out document write, this is a paragraph, and then I said, okay, go do this function, okay? And so I'm inserting that paragraph, and then I said, close the script, and this is below the script. Notice that it got inserted twice, okay? So I'm going to do the JavaScript, and I want to open that. Did I leave it open, please? Yes. No.
You can just click on it.
I know, but I was just hopefully that it, I don't like to get multiple things open. Okay. So there's the JavaScript, okay? So it goes out and it takes that and it inserts it back. Info was what I set it inside the parenthesis. And what was it that I set it inside the parenthesis? It was, this is the information. And I did it here two ways just for the fun of it, I guess, or something. I said, okay, I've got a variable called stuff. And stuff equals a P for paragraph. And then I wanted to say, okay, stuff equals what's already in stuff plus info. So this is the information. So I now have a P, this is the information. And then I said, again, stuff and the plus equal is the same as saying stuff equal. So this one wrote stuff plus, this one did plus equal, they did the same thing. Stuff plus means take what's in stuff and add something to it. Plus equal means take what's in the answer area, which is stuff, and add something to it. Okay. So then I did a document write of stuff, and it wrote out, this is the information. And then I did another document write by putting it all together. So this line was here, and this line is here. So I did it twice. And I have another function in there that I'm going to use in another program, but my point was I don't have to use all of the functions. It just ignores that one because I never called it. Okay, so since I never called it, it doesn't use it. So I can have a whole bunch of functions if I want to in one place, and just call certain ones, and it will go and use those certain ones that I call. And the way I would really write this is the last one, and not go through all that, but I wanted to point out that I can say, take what is in that and add something to it in two different ways. I can say stuff plus, or I can say plus equals, which means take what's in the answer and add something to it. Questions? And so again, there is there it is, and again, anything I tell it to do, it's going to bring this over and put it inside the script. So I've got it inside the script, and it executes it. And that's why I don't need to use the script part on the outside, because I have it back in the main program, and it just puts that script in there. And you can see again where it calls insert info para and sends it, this is the information. Okay, so if I called that something, if I had put something else in the parenthesis, then that's what I'd be seeing twice. It's whatever I'm sending it that I'm seeing. Okay. So on this one, I did a little bit more, and I had a click event, and if I click on it, it adds, okay. So it's, this is a paragraph, this is the information, this is the first, this is the second, and that changes that last group. Okay. So again, I have on click get you do using get ID. Okay, so on click I'm saying go and do that. I still have this up here that's coming over, but here I've got an on click event, and the on click event is going out and using the using get ID. And so there's the using get ID, and it's going out and doing that function, which is getting the try this and showing the inner HTML. So that's how I can make an external.
I had a question.
Yep.
So when you make an external page like that for JavaScript, does it still run top to bottom, like as a program, even if you don't?
No, because functions are only ended if you call it.
Okay.
So the functions are only executed when I call them.
Okay.
Okay. So the first function got loaded in up at the top, and when I called it, this one got activated when I did the on click event. Okay. So no, functions anywhere only get done when you call them.
So if you wrote a loop in an external page, how would you call the loop?
Make it a function, basically.
A function.
Yeah. And then I changed and I removed. So I said, make a change, restore. So I just went back and forth between the two. Okay. And if you look at them, I have two buttons, and on click, I do two different functions. So on click, I do using get ID, on click, I use the store get ID. Okay. And they're available because I loaded the stuff up here. So those two functions are now available, okay, because I loaded the information that has those two functions. So all of these functions become available when I load external JS2. All these functions become available. They only get used, though, if I tell them to use it. So I could have 20 functions in there and still only use 3, because they only get used when I tell them to use it.
So would you make everything a function on an external
page? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So there is calling external JS2, and I'm calling it, and it literally takes, now I wouldn't want to do, I said it would work if I had 20, and it would, but I really don't want to have all of those get loaded in if I'm not using them. So I tend to just put the ones that I'm using and have different addresses for different groups. Okay. What I want to do today is have you actually write a quiz. And so we're going to look at that and build in a break, and you can start writing the quiz. So my quiz is, okay. There's my quiz. It's a PDF and a little hard to read, but anyway. There is my quiz. So I have a series of questions. So I said question one, and I put in a question, and it's got true false as the possibilities. Okay, then I have question two, and it's a true false. Then I have question three, and it's a multiple choice. And in that case, all of them have to be checked to make it true. Here is another question with multiple choices, but this uses a radio button, whereas this one uses a checkbox. Okay? And so only one thing has to be true when it's using a radio button, as opposed to if it's using a checkbox, I can say multiple things have to be true. Okay? So on this one, I've got multiple things have to be true. And in fact, I had all four of them. A web page can contain the following: HTML, XHTML, CSS, JavaScript. They're all true, so I had to check them all. And which of the following is used? Okay. So I have my little quiz here, and it's a 5-question quiz. And down at the bottom, I calculate the grade.
Ms. Gordon?
Yes.
Is this quiz due December 1st?
I think it is, yes.
So we'll go over it in class.
That's right.
On December 1st.
Yes. So you should write it before then.
Are we remaking the exact quiz, or make up our own?
Make up your own.
Well, I decided to make up my own quiz.
That's right. But these are 5 possible examples. And then I said, calculate your grade and show the letter grade. So I calculate the grade and show the letter grade. And then I have that magic line that I told you that does a refresh page that you can put in that means it cleans out all of the...
So, Ms. Grosher?
Yes.
So for the quiz, I have to write my own.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then what, Ms. Grosher?
Get it running. And get it running.
How many questions do I need?
I think I said 5.
How many questions do I need?
5.
Okay. It was 5 questions.
Yep.
And what else, Ms. Grosher?
I think that's about it. Well, listen to what I'm saying, okay? So here are some notes that are a little bit about the kind of thing you're going to do. So I said, for example, you can test a condition, and then I've got input type is radio, and the name is question one and question one, true and false. Okay? So that was a way of doing it, where I put up a question, and then I said, okay, now they're going to click a radio button that tells whether it's true or false. So I have to check and see if the radio button is true or false. And if it's a checkbox, I'm going to say things like that. Checkbox, and then name equals H. Okay, and then I'll have another checkbox with a different name, and so forth.
So can we do an external JavaScript?
Sure. Sure. And then I had in the function where I check it. Okay, so I did the check here and said if questions, which is the name of the form, question 10 dot check equals true, then I added 20 points to their score. Okay, so I checked to see if it was true. If it was true, then I added 20 points to their score.
And if it's not true, it just
makes... You wouldn't add anything, right. Because what I did is I had five questions, and each question gets you 20 points. And so if they got it right, they added 20 points. If they didn't get it right, I add nothing. Okay? So if they got them all wrong, they end up with zero at the end. I started them out with a zero, and I started them out with a grade. It's nothing. Okay. So those are just little excerpts from mind that you can ignore or use. And then I came down and said, if the average is greater than or equal to 90, then your grade is an A. And I just want to mention here, because a lot of people make more work than they need to here. If I have a less than and equal to 90, less than or equal to 90, then it's an A. If I get a no, then I know already that it's less than or equal to 90. So the only thing I have to ask here is it greater than or equal to 80. I don't have to ask about the 90 again. A lot of people put compounds in there, and on every question they ask a compound. But that's not needed, because I already know if it's less than or equal to 90, then I've gone this direction. So this direction is only going to have 89 and below. If I take the end direction, it's 89 and below. And so I don't have to ask that question because I know it. It's already 89 or below, so I just have to ask, is it greater than or equal to 80 in order to find out that it's a B. I don't have to put a compound in there. And as I said, I see a lot of people putting compounds in there. Okay, so I want you to write the quiz. And this is where you get into the practical stuff. The other is all kind of, oh, isn't that nice? But then this is where you actually do something that people are... I also should have mentioned, and I didn't, so I'm going to go back for just a minute, and then you can start writing for real. The second assignment, your second website assignment, is to do these. Okay, so what a lot of people do is rather than make another web page, they add a web page, and they add a page to what they're doing. And the page can be one that you can pull later if you want to, so that you can just do the JavaScript if you want to. Obviously, it would be best if it actually incorporated it into what you're doing. So I want to see that you can write if a loop, two different kinds, a function where something's returned, a function that you pass something, a click event, take in user input and provide output to the user. And as I said, these can all be kind of mixed together to some degree, because taking in input and providing output can be using setting up a form. And then I want you to just find five other things that you want to include that involve DOM. You know, so again, like the tag name we looked at today. The tag name involves that. So you could do that. If you do an external, that would count as one of the five extra things. So if you decide to make some one of the functions external, that would count. Okay. The only thing I ask is you have to tell me what you did. Okay. And that's not due to the last day of classes. Right.
So I need to modify my existing website.
That's right.
If not, I need to create a new website, right?
Or a new website, yes. But you should name the one that you will modify differently. You want to name that one, the page that you... In other words, you've already sent me a page. They're not due till Thanksgiving, so I haven't started correcting the web pages yet, doing the websites yet, because they're not due till yet. But I want you to keep the name and then make the modifications and save that under another name. Okay, because if you start modifying the first thing, then it makes my life more difficult. So I want you, the second page, to be renamed. And it's due the last day of classes.
Ms. Roach?
Yes.
I did put the website on CIS Web.
Yes.
I did put it on.
That's right.
I want to show you.
Just a minute. This is an individual project, so nobody should be helping you with this. I want you to write it as an individual project. And so nobody should be helping you, including students. Students should not help with this.
I want to show the code.
Let's go through.
Yeah?
I want to show the code.